The Leafs fans have kind of been split on a few things lately. Some are saying, hey, listen, the fact that the Leafs came back against Chicago bodes well. We know they have the firepower. They keep exhibiting it. But then the other half is, well, they've gotten down twice in a row now. One to Tampa, which is a little bit more understandable. But to Chicago, I don't know if I can buy that. I'm sitting here trying to just stay a little bit more level-headed, saying, okay, it could just be a rough patch. Let's see if this plays out a certain way. Where are you on it?
You know, I always try to be a level-headed person, too, and not overreact to things. I think the thing that's the most concerning, Ashley, is that at this time of year, it's okay to lose. It's not okay to lose the way they've lost the last two games. When you're getting into games 70 and 71 through 82, it's about, okay, this is the way we're going to play in the playoffs. And like I said, even if you lose, it's okay if you lose and you play well. It's not okay to have the kinds of breakdowns that they've been having. You know, on Monday against Tampa Bay, it was on the faceoffs. They got scored four times against after losing a faceoff in their own zone. And then against Chicago the other night, it was the turnovers and the defensive coverage. You know, there were, I think, four goals off turnovers. There was the one where they totally lost Brandon Saad. That's not the way you can be losing at this time of year because, you know, against Boston, they're going to pick you apart if you play like that against them. You know, I was at practice yesterday. We were taping something. And, you know, not to say that he doesn't work at other practices, because he sure does, but Babcock was really working yesterday. He was vocal. He was in. He was all over the drills. He was pushing the pace. The moment one particular group finished or the play broke down, he was firing the puck in there. Let's start again. Let's do it again. He was on them. And, you know, I don't go to practice all the time anymore. I called Chris Johnson after and I said, look, like, it seemed that he was as involved as, you know, he would be in any practice all year. And CJ said it's not the most he's ever seen it, but it was up there. So there was a coach yesterday who was on them to say, guys, we have to be a lot better and we have to be a lot more detail oriented. So when I see a coach doing that this late in the year, Ashley, my vote is he sees that it's a problem and he gets on them to try to fix it.
Well, it's easy to blame Frederik Andersen for the Chicago game, saying, okay, maybe, hey, those two first goals, you got to make those saves. But you pointed to losing faceoffs leading to goals. And John Tavares was saying, we've been literally pounding into our heads that our defensive zone coverages need to be better. And that's from a forward. So who do you, I don't want to say lay the blame on, because it's more of a team game than offensive versus defensive. But is there an argument to be made that one of the things that's unraveling is the offensive players, the forwards, not being as stout defensively as they should be?
Well, and especially when, look, the defense right now is ravaged by injuries. Mm-hmm. You've got two guys who are out from the NHL team, and you've got a couple of guys, and one of whom would be here in Rosen, who are out from the AHL team. So in those situations, yes, the forwards have to really help them out. And, you know, it's affected their offense. Their transition game isn't as strong. Gardner is an excellent puck mover. Dermott's a really improving one. So it's affected them all over the ice. You know, Andersen, as far as I'm concerned, he's not exempt from criticism, but he's as close to it as anybody on the roster. He's a Vezina Trophy candidate. If you were to tell me he was going to win it this year, I don't think anybody would have a huge problem with that. He's, you know, he's been one of their best players all season long. They can't have him struggling going into the playoffs, because if they do, it's big trouble. But generally, it's going to take a lot more than what I saw the other night against Chicago to make me worry about him. The guy's too good, and he's been too consistent for me to say we've got a real problem here yet.
There's so many ways to break down a potential Leafs-Bruins series. Elliot Friedman joining us, by the way, from courtesy of McAlpine Ford Lincoln and Aurora Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow night early, by the way, as Leafs Sens and Blackhawks Canadians. But it's pretty simple to say if they don't get a healthy Gardner and a healthy Dermott back, they're a lot longer shot to win the series. Like, we're asking Marinson and Ozaganov and maybe somebody else by the time the playoffs come to step up and play not just minutes they're not accustomed to, but in a league, you know, in a weird way they're not accustomed to at those levels.
Yeah, it's a challenge. There's no question about that. You know, Dermott at least yesterday before practice, he was skating, and so was Kapanen. And that's the other guy, you know. Kapanen has really come on. He's a heck of a player. And they need those two guys, and Gardner, you mentioned. So Dermott at least was skating yesterday before practice, so that's a good sign. You know you're getting him back probably right around in a few weeks, so I'm not as worried about him. It sounds like the guy they're really worried about one way or the other is going to be Gardner. And at some point, we'll, maybe early next week, end of this week, we're going to get an update on him, but I think that's the guy who at least a week ago, CJ, when he was out west, was indicating that was the guy that people were kind of concerned about. And that would be a huge loss, no question.
Sure, mind, folks. Golden Knights at Stars. That's a pretty important game for Dallas tonight at home, 8 o'clock on Sportsnet from Dallas, Texas. Nick made the point on Hockey Central at noon yesterday with David Amber and Doug McClain that the Leafs may not have a player or a moment. And he referenced Boston and Columbus. Columbus coming back from down 7-4. And they'd already gotten back in the game when Artemi Panarin started the fight with Charlie McAvoy. He took a tap to the ankles, didn't like it one bit, turned and fought. And they're at home. And Panarin had looked a little disengaged with the process and had only had one goal, I think, in the previous 10 games. But Nick did make the point, and I don't have a good answer, and I don't know if you do, who's the Leaf that would do that? In the Randy Carlyle 2013 era, you'd be like, here comes Colton Orr over the boards. We're down 2-0, and we all know what's going to happen here. And that's not the sport anymore, and that sure isn't this Leafs team. But I thought that point was well made, that Panarin did it, and I don't know that we got a Leaf that's going to go out and cause some havoc out there physically.
Well, also, Hyman was out, right? Normally that's him.
Yeah.
So that was certainly a point. You know, it happened to the other night. New Jersey lost 9-4 in Calgary. They gave up 6 goals in the third period. And they addressed Curtis Gabriel on Wednesday, and he fought Milan Lucic and did really well. And you could see it. The Devils were charged up by that. So, you know, we can't ask people to do that anymore. We know, everything we know about concussions and everything like that. You can't say, hey, you have to fight. But when it happens organically, it still has a huge effect on the game. And, the thing is, the other night against Chicago, at least what happened was, you know, the Leafs got back into it the way they're supposed to get it back into it, with their skill. But I generally do agree that when you're drowning in a game, or like New Jersey, you got slaughtered the night before, there, you know, who's going to come out and do something, whatever it is, that's going to change the tone of the game? And it didn't happen against Tampa, but it did happen against Chicago. And I do agree with Nick on that. It's just do something that changes the momentum, especially when you're at home. Do something that gets your crowd back into the game. And whether it's a big check, whether it's a fight, whether it's a great play that gets everybody's juices flowing again, that was missing against Tampa. It did happen against Chicago, but it just happened too late. I don't disagree with Nick at all.
Yeah, I think that this is not a popular opinion, but I feel like I'd like to see Austin Matthews be that guy more often. And we know he's able to do it, as you said, by making a play, but use his physicality. He's a big guy, right? And he seems to have this little edge to him at times. You can see when he really turns it on, and he almost turns into this different player. I know it's kind of cliche to be like, you see a look in his eyes or you see an edge to his game and it changes, but then there's the caveat that you don't want one of your strongest skilled players to potentially be breaking his hand in a fight and not available to you.
And also, I mean, the question to me is does he, it's exactly that, actually. Like Vincent LeCavalier, once in a while, he would do it. Jerome Iginla, once in a while, he would do it. You know, but those guys knew how to do it. Like for LeCavalier, for as talented as he was a pretty good fighter. And I remember asking Tortorella once when he was coaching him, like, are you concerned that he would do that? And he goes, nah, Vinny can throw him. That's what he said. So, I mean, like the thing with Matthews is, I mean, I don't know if he's, you know, if that's something he's good at, for one thing, and I wouldn't want him doing it necessarily if he's not good at it. But the thing is, you know, I'm watching Matthews this week in his quotes, and you can tell he's getting angry. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious about that, because I'm wondering, What does that mean? Like, when Austin Matthews is really angry, and, you know, he really helped get them going the other night, I'm curious to see what that's going to mean for his play the last couple of weeks of the season. If he's looking at them and saying, we're not very good right now, I'm really interested in seeing, all right, what's he gonna do about that? He's a great player. He's one of the cornerstones of the team. I'm very interested in seeing what a disappointed or angry Austin Matthews in their play is going to mean for him on the ice over the next couple of weeks. Because it, you know, that could be a huge thing for them if he's driven to fix those problems.
Elliot Friedman, our guest, Talking Nine Canada tomorrow night, has Leafs Sens. The Flyers are in town tonight to play a rare Friday game at Scotiabank Arena against Leafs. I noted last night on Twitter, Sabres just weren't competitive. They've been shut out three straight games, and they were 17-6-2 at the start of December. They're 13-24-3 in their last 40 games. They've done a lot of things right. Jason Botterill has. We thought Phil Housley had. What kind of turbulent and turmoil-filled offseason could this be for the Buffalo Sabres, who are obviously sinking fast down the standings?
Well, last year, you'll remember, they didn't like the way it ended. They didn't like the comments that Ryan O'Reilly made at the end of the year, and they traded him. Mm-hmm. So what it says to me is that the reworking of the Buffalo Sabres is not done, and there is more coming. And, you know, they haven't gotten a Skinner extension done yet. You know, the closer you get, you know, the more you wonder, is it going to happen? Yeah. Now, I've heard the issue is term. It would seem to make sense in the fact that it's not done yet. But, you know, when you're going like this, you kind of wonder, is it any guarantee that he'll be staying? And Jason Botterill, I don't think that guy's afraid. And he'll take a look and he'll decide what he thinks is ailing them. And just like last year, I think you're going to tell what he thinks is the problem by what, you know, who goes out or who gets traded or moved or whatever in the off season. I don't think you're going to see a guy afraid to make more changes. They've got some cornerstones and he'll move the people around them.